Hail cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon, not Dave.
No.
Brandon, how are you?
I'm great, despite not being Dave. I'm great. though I'm suffering from a legitimate case of IBS, Josh.
International break syndrome?
Yeah, you got it. You guessed it. Definitely not irritable bowel syndrome, but it's that time that happens every month or so where mm-hmm. we just for some reason have to take a break from our beloved FPL.
I know. It's this one I kind of need, to be totally honest. I feel like I kind of I need a little bit of a break. I had a moment on Saturday where, you know, it's like sometimes it's the hope that kills you, Brandon, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, there was a moment and I don't want to get too like, but this is like, it's just this will not matter to anybody, but it's such a specific fantasy moment that I'm going to relay it anyway. Okay. Right. So no one's going to be sympathetic to me, but I'm just going to tell the story anyway. So I bring in.
Why else would we start a podcast if not for these moments?
So I bring in Ryan Fredericks on my transfer and, you know, kind of a tight first half. Allaire blows a couple of chances. I've got Allaire on my team as well. Right on the 55th minute or something like that. Beautiful pass from Fredericks. Allaire sticks a toe out, scores the goal. It's incredible. My newly transferred in defender assisting my somewhat differential forward. And mm-hmm. I'm like, this is incredible. And like it goes into the 60th minute, 65th minute. I'm like, I'm going to get a clean sheet, an assist, and 3 bonus points. I'm going to get 2 from Allaire. So we get a 20-point haul from this game. And then it was like everything just sort of like ticked away. You know, it was like I got 2 yellow cards and both yellow cards led directly to the goals as well. And it was like all my bonus points went away. All of my points went away. And I went from a projected 20 to a projected 8. And it was like, on the one hand, you're like, it's 8 points. I can't be too mad here. But on the other hand, I was like, I hate this. I was like, I need a break. Because it was just the stress sometimes. It's out of your control, you know?
And that's why I always encourage managers to never preload their clean sheets. The temptation is at the 61st minute, let's load up the app, load my clean sheet points, because it will inevitably happen that the clean sheets get wiped out. And there's nothing worse than knowing what the maximum points would have been and to see them just dwindle away. It's really depressing.
I hadn't loaded them, but you can't save yourself from mentally loading those points, Brandon.
Sure. Yeah. I'm not blaming you for all these clean sheet wipeouts. No, I'm not.
So Brandon, thank you. I'll just quickly note a big thank you to Dave Wagner-Lodahl, who he and I actually recorded a podcast last night on Sunday night, which due to some audio problems completely on my end, stop that podcast from being available. And so we're actually re-recording a second podcast tonight. It's kind of like there's a Kurt Vonnegut book called Timequake. Are you familiar with this? Where everyone shoots back in time 10 years and they all have to relive the last 10 years of their life.
I'm not familiar. Is this a little bit like Sliders starring Jerry O'Connell?
It's Sliders adjacent for sure.
Okay. It's part of the Sliders extended universe.
So I am reliving yesterday's podcast with a new co-host. So it's a very, very strange experience. But thank you to Dave. Sorry for taking up your Sunday. But it's good to be here, Brandon. I'm getting two bites of the apple here. So
make it count, Josh.
Exactly. Yeah. So how are you, Brandon?
I'm great. Yeah. Despite, as I said, the IBS that I'm suffering from, I'm on my third green arrow in a row, which, mm-hmm. you know, coming off of a tricky week, game week 8 was, you know, it was a really mixed bag for a lot of managers. And I feel like I saw the lows of Manchester City and the Aguero captain, but I saw the highs of Matt Ryan being my one transfer on the game week. I dropped mm-hmm. Adrian and brought in Matt Ryan, and miraculously that Spurs fixture resulted in 7 points for him. Yep. And that is the ultimate way to start the game week. The early kickoff, and you're just right off the bat with a clean sheet. You're off and running.
Yep.
Then various blanks from my attacking players, McGinn and Vardy and Allaire, 5 points from him.
Felt disappointing.
Yeah, very disappointing, particularly the Yarmolenko pass to Allaire, who just totally fluffed it and had the whole goal to shoot at and just hit it straight down the keeper's throat.
Yeah, it was almost like I don't know if he got a little unlucky there or not, you know, because it felt like if he was standing 3 inches either way, you know, I feel like that's a goal. It was just kind of a fluky thing, you know, but
it is true. I'm sure the striker's job is, you know, to tuck it away any which way you can. But I think basically just put a foot on it and direct it at target. And 9 times out of 10, that's going in the goal. So, totally. So in the end, yeah, I finished on 43 points, which is, let's see, that's 7 points above the average. I'll take it. And, inching incrementally closer to my game week 10 goal of 399K overall.
Yep.
So I'm up to 724K, which is still, you know, well outside of the universe in which a couple of podcasters want to be in. But I'm feeling like I'm heading in the right direction.
You're up like 2 million in 3 game weeks. So, I mean, clearly it's, you know, trending the right way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had like about as close to a gray arrow as you can get. I finished on 38 points, two over the average. I moved down about 20,000 spots, so I'm right around 500K right now. Like kind of bleh, you know. I love the
rank, perfect... the rank police. The rank police are coming to arrest you, Josh.
So I basically like a gray era on the game week. It's kind of fine. It's, you know, it's sort of the, I think sometimes the hardest thing about fantasy, you know, the grind part of it is when you're, there's something, it's something almost kind of fun about when you're like 2 million back or 3 million back and you're like, you know what, I'm just, if I can even just get above average, I'm going to jump over a bunch of people, you know, but then it's like, once you kind of make those jumps and you get back to like a quasi respectable spot, like then sometimes you get stuck there for a while, you know, and that to me is like a really frustrating spot where you're just like, it's like, you know, eventually, you know, over time, you know, you're going to get the higher of, but you're just sort of stuck. And so, you know, after Saturday's matches, I was like, I actually was kind of worried because, you know, I didn't have Aguero. I didn't have, Aubameyang. Aubameyang one I was really worried about. I didn't have Tammy. And so I was like, I'm gonna shoot down massively tomorrow. And, you know, lo and behold, I mean, just nobody did anything. You know, it wasn't, I mean, Tammy got 8 points and you know, Mason Mount scored. But outside of him, it was like just kind of blanks all around, you know?
Yeah. I think it was the Tammy goal that for both of us suppressed any sort of big spike in rank that we were gonna get. And that's priority number one for me going into the international break is get Tammy. Where is Tammy? Find him, locate him, and get him to sign some papers for Brandon's team.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of in the same. I'm considering that as well. I think I might burn 4 to bring him in. The question is what defender I mean, obviously, it's going to be Zinchenko who goes. Like, what a weird, funky lineup. Like, yeah, I actually thought he looked good when he came out in the second half, but it was like they decided, like, a sick Kyle Walker was better than nothing. It was like a weird, like, it was like Kyle Walker played for a half and is it Cancelo? Cancelo, however you say his name?
Cancelo, I think it
Cancelo.
Is.
Cancelo, yeah.
Not that we've ever been right about pronunciations on this podcast, but I'm going Cancelo. I think that one had to do with Kyle Walker can really only play on the right and Zinchenko normally plays on the left. So, yeah, you would... And that, but then they moved Cancelo to the right when Zinchenko came on. So why not just start with Zin and Cancelo Walker was to begin
sick.
With?
Yeah, because apparently Walker was kind of sick even going into the match. So I'm not really sure why. Anyway, it was just a funky. But you know, I think he had a case of
IBS, Josh.
He did. Early onset IBS, much like Ben Mendy, who's out now too with a hamstring. But it was just, yeah, it was just kind of a whatever game week. 38 points. It's like, it's fine. Like, give me 2 weeks off and I'll get excited about fantasy again, you know? But I kind of need like a little breather right now. I'm hoping KDB is back. That feels like that's the biggest unresolved question. You know, if he's back and healthy, then everything else is kind of easy. You know, I guess most solid too. I mean, if he's injured, but I think he'll be fine. I think he just took a knock, but I'd be shocked if he didn't start in game week 9.
Yeah, the way Salah came off the pitch, it didn't look as serious as it might have been. There's that ludicrous Chaudhry challenge. And the quotes from Pep seem to suggest that as much as we can believe that fraud, that KDB will be fine coming back from the break. Quick shout out to our great friends at the Fantasy Football Scout. Joe over there let us join him on the Breakfast Club that the Scout hosts on their YouTube page. every Saturday morning before the games kick off. And it's a great place for managers to chat about the moves they're making right before the deadline. And Joe's a great host. If you haven't checked out the Breakfast Club, you can see Josh and I on the Fantasy Football Scouts YouTube channel. It's in our Twitter feed somewhere where you can go and link and see us in living color on the video, Joe.
I will just note, you'll see what we look like when we wake up at 5:30 in the morning.
Not our best.
To record a YouTube show. But that was a lot of fun. And thanks again to Joe for having us on. It's always a pleasure. I did his Meet the Manager thing a while ago, too. And that was a lot of fun as well. So, all right. So that's game week 8. I think we can just move. Let's just move on from it, right? There's not a lot to say. Yeah,
I think we're all ready to move on. There's no true glory was had that was big enough that's worth wallowing any further in game week 8.
But there are people who are doing well, Brandon, and we should highlight those. We should celebrate those people, Brandon. Tonight, we celebrate our love of the
tonight
top
it's 10. About them.
So I'm going to read off the top 10 of the Always Cheating Super League. Congratulations to all of you. Christina Hogsith. Congratulations. I always like to see, as you know, Brandon, we're very female forward, and we want as many female managers.
Absolutely.
Now, I hope that Christina is a female. I mean, I guess we don't know that for a fact, but let's assume that Christina is. Congratulations to Christina in 10th place. Mm-hmm. In 9th is Omar Maghrabi. In 8th, Christopher Marshall. In 7th, Robert Wilde. In 6th, Andre Bjerkvit. In 5th, Nicodemus Wong. Great name. Like all time. That's like a Harry Potter name, right? It's a fantastic name.
Yes, it is.
In 4th is Dmitry Kibatsky. In 3rd is Elmejik Ahmed Salim. In 2nd is Bradley Perry. And in 1st is PSV Eindhoven. Owen Hogan. Congratulations to Owen. I think Owen is 17th overall. And he's almost exactly 100 points above me. So that kind of... But it doesn't seem like that much in some ways, right? It's like it's 100
Wait,
points.
What?
Like
that's a lot.
That's a lot. It's a lot, but it's not like 250 or something. You know,
this is like that Mr. Show sketch of like, hey, is 15 the highest number?
Yeah, 24.
What about 24 is the highest number? Exactly. Well, congratulations to all the Super League managers. Never too late to join. Just go to alwayscheating.com or our social medias to get the code to join the Super League. Speaking of places to go online, you can visit us at patreon.com/alwayscheating. That's where you can support me and Josh, what we do here on the Always Cheating podcast. You can become a supporter to say thank you, to support what we do. You can also get access to our Slack message board, an extra ad-free podcast every week, t-shirts, extra leagues, all that other good stuff. Stay tuned. Yeah. At the end, we've got some new Patreon members that we're going to shout out.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. And so that's, I just wanted to note, Brandon, on the Patreon thing, you know, when I realized that I'd messed up the audio last night, there's a moment where you're just like, we should just skip a week. I'm just going to skip a week. Like who cares, you know? But then I thought about like, it's the Patreon supporters like that. It really keeps us honest, like knowing that people are supporting the podcast. Over 500 managers support the podcast on Patreon. It really, it motivates us. And then they make, you know, that's why I'm willing to do a podcast, the exact same podcast two nights in a row, because, you know, we really do appreciate the support and we want people to feel like, it's a good investment. So, like you said, you get access to the Slack and an extra podcast every week.
Yeah. So you're doing this podcast the same running order, Josh, for the second night in a row. I believe your hot takes are only going to grow hotter over time. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to do a special international break, team by team review, what we like and dislike about all 20 teams after 8 weeks of FPL.
All right, I'm ready. All right, Brandon, tonight's theme, what we like and dislike about all 20 teams after 8 game weeks. I think a couple of these teams we're going to kind of just skip, you know, we'll
going to
get a token note or two. No, I think all offense intended. I mean,
Watford and Southampton have done more harm to us than we can ever manage to mention. So, yeah, it's all deserved, this silence on our part.
I want to include Newcastle in that, but they have beat Spurs and Man United in the season. So I guess, kind of what a funky, weird year that is for them, right? They look terrible in every match, and they beat Spurs and Man United. So I don't know.
It's about as funky as Steve Bruce, Josh.
All right. So we're just going to do just some general thoughts on a few of these teams. What we like, you know, we're 8 weeks in. It's kind of, there's enough time now where we can start to form some opinions. As you were saying before we were recording, like it's time we now like have some actual thoughts, not just like preseason speculation, you know? So, all right. With Arsenal, I'm going to pose you a question, Brandon. This question comes from me, Josh Landon. Am I really going to continue not having Aubameyang in my squad?
You might. So this is the conundrum with Arsenal, right? Is you look at Arsenal and the first thing you see is from an FPL perspective is, wow, Aubameyang is on fire. He is by far and away the one asset that you would want to have on that team. And then the second point is beyond that, what is going on at Arsenal? And they continue to be, the same story has been true for years and years and years, is you just never know what you're going to get with this iteration of Arsenal week to week. So their defense is off limits. Their midfield is off limits. Pepe just hasn't caught on. And the fact that Aubameyang is the one asset that you can look to on a kind of random, unreliable team is made more difficult by the fact that Aubameyang is priced at a premium at 11 million. So that's where the, like, I guess you could call it cognitive dissonance comes in. However, it's just kind of undeniable that he's in great form. And if you compare him to other like strikers in his bracket, you've got Harry Kane and Sergio Aguero. I think Aguero is somewhat more attractive, but I'm an Aguero owner and I might be able to argue that, you know, the Jesus rotation thing is going to come to bear again sometime soon. I'm sure of it. And wouldn't I rather just be on board with a striker like Aubameyang, who is consistent to start and is in just as reliable form?
Yeah, the only issue is, you know, he's a little, I don't know, just like the fact that he blanked at home to Bournemouth in game week 8 kind of gives me the ammunition I need not to bring him in, you know, or not to feel desperately about it.
You get the confirmation bias that you need.
Well, I guess so. It's more like it just confirms it confirms how I feel about him, which is that I don't know that I completely trust him. And I don't feel like he's a player that I would love captaining. You know, I felt like if I captained him, even in a really plum game week, I would feel a little nervous about it, you know, in a way that I just don't with someone like Sterling or even Mo Salah. You know, I'm just like, I don't know, maybe that's unfair though. I mean, he's only you know, this is the first match he hasn't had an attacking return in, you know, on the season. So
I would say, again, as an Aguero owner, I've captained Aguero 2 weeks in a row and I've gotten a 5-pointer and a 2-pointer from him, and without hesitation I would captain Aguero again. So it's like, why would we not without hesitation captain somebody like Aubameyang? And again, it's that sort of hard to describe cognitive dissonance that we have with a team like Arsenal, where it's just, we feel like we're on shaky ground with the team. Therefore, the reliability of Aubameyang is always going to get called into question.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It's the team part of it that really throws you off. You just don't trust that he's going to get enough good balls in. By the way, just kind of slightly related to this, but watching Will Zaha, you know, I feel like Arsenal were kind of in for Zaha and then they ended up going for Pepe instead. And I know that Pepe is like 3 years younger than Zaha, but watching Zaha destroy West Ham without, I mean, he didn't actually get any attacking returns in the game, but just watching him destroy
them. He had his way with them for sure.
He did, and I know he was sort of sulky in the first few matches of the season, but you're like, God, Arsenal could use a guy like this, you know? Just like a total pest, you know, with just like incredible speed. And I don't know. It's like, I feel like maybe I just haven't watched Pepe enough to like know what his great skill set is, you know, or whatever. I don't know. I mean,
it's hard to say with Pepe because I think he seems like a player where it's going to take a season for him to bed in, and maybe next season he becomes some sort of different player that is appealing, because right yeah. now he just seems completely unsettling. Anytime he gets a look at goal, the shot's wild. He's like Charlie Sheen, not Charlie. Yeah, it's Charlie Sheen in yeah. The Wild in Thing Major in League. Major League.
Yeah,
where
yeah.
just wild yeah. pitches all over the place. Pepe needs a pair of glasses, I think, and watch Pepe in game week 9 walk onto the pitch with a big pair of like Elvis Costello glasses, and suddenly he's postage stamping every single shot that he takes. Watch it yeah, happen.
It's you know what's interesting is Lacazette will eventually come back, right? Like when is Lacazette? They're saying he's going to be back after the international break. So he's down to 9.3 million. Maybe he's like the sneaky cheap way into that team.
Okay. You
know,
yeah.
They're great run of fixtures. I don't know.
Interesting. Ben Dinnery's site has Lacazette's potential return date listed as October 27. So it seems like maybe there are conflicting reports about how quickly he's coming back.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, neither of us are moving for either of these guys right now. I mean, all due respect to Aubameyang, I like him, but I still like Sterling and Salah more,
yeah,
you know, right. And it feels like it's kind of between those players. We'll talk more about Salah in a few minutes.
Yeah, just the last thing on Arsenal and Aubameyang, and Joe made this good point on the Breakfast Club regarding the game week 9 fixture with away Sheffield United. And it's a tricky fixture for almost every team now. Like Sheffield United's defensive prowess is great. So if you don't have Aubameyang and you're looking to bring him in, it seems like game week 10 with two home fixtures in a row against Palace and then Wolves would be the time to target Abba.
It would be, yeah, I don't know. I would love to try to save two transfers and give myself a chance to do it, but I think I just have too many other problems right now too. Maybe that's why Abba's he's just not on my radar yet. It's a luxury I can't afford right now. So, all right. So let's move on from Arsenal to Aston Villa. They're sort of an interesting, I mean, they just destroyed Norwich, and the sort of the rap on them was that they were a lot stronger at home than away. Now, I don't know if Norwich is like they might just be one of those teams this year where everyone's just going to start piling up and destroying them, and you're not going to learn anything from it. You know, I mean, Wesley is still not one that I'm really excited about. You know, he's kind of like, he's got like a little like right place, right time to him, maybe a little bit. Like his positioning is good.
There's something telling about his second goal against Norwich where he just tapped it in right in front of goal and he didn't celebrate. He just started grinning. And what the grin said to me was, you didn't tell me it was going to be this easy. So the brace that Wesley scored, I don't know if it tells me anything about Wesley so much as it tells me that Norwich's central defense is just a dumpster fire. And now couple that with Wesley taking a very savable penalty. And again, he's just kind of shrouded in question marks. And I think the closest comparison that we have for Wesley is Allaire. And it just doesn't feel right now for the, and Joe Ellington, the lump of a central striker.
Newcastle.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm with you. I'm not sold on Wesley just yet.
Same here. Someone pointed out on Twitter today, it is kind of shocking that he is, Wesley right now has more points than King, Rashford, Allaire, Barnes, and Jimenez, which is as well as, I mean, he's like one of like the top forwards in the league in terms of total points. But yeah, I mean, based on just what you're watching with your eyes, I mean, clearly, all that said, I mean, I just negged him, but I will say that, I mean, 4 goals and 1 assist in the season, even if some of that did come in this Norwich match, I mean, he's done okay. I sort of thought he was a complete dud, and now I think he's just a minor dud or possibly
bit of
just
a bottle rocket.
Yeah, like a non-entity. I will upgrade him from dud to non-entity.
Wow, so huge upgrade. We better at Wesley when this podcast comes out. He'll be thrilled at the upgrade. So I think the big question about Villa, right, is everything's been kind of feeling good for bargain hunters looking at Villa's defense and John McGinn, the most notable asset. But the fixtures coming up do not bode well. So game week 9, home Brighton. So, you know, you wouldn't be too fearful of that, though Brighton's defense has looked relatively decent. Then it's City and Liverpool in game weeks 10 and 11. And United, okay, whatever. I had to stop being drawn to the red fixture that is United. Still, Chelsea in game week 15. What do you make of these fixtures? Are you scared off by these?
Yeah, it's a classic hold situation where if you already have Heaton or Mings or whomever, like, great, good chance of a clean sheet in that Brighton match, good chance of a clean sheet in the Newcastle match. But I don't think you can bring them in. I mean, I think that December is when their fixtures really come alive. And they got a really nice run, a ton of home matches starting in early December. It looks like maybe the Leicester match in game week 16 is the one to start thinking about. So, they're like a hold. I like McGinn a lot. I think McGinn might be kind of a fixture proof type player. I mean, he scored against some big teams already, scored against, Spurs and Arsenal. Do those kind of big teams, right? This season.
Wow,
anyway.
You're just really rolling out the burns this week. I love it.
Well, I mean, Arsenal are in third place. They're only a point behind City. So I don't know why, like, I'm negging on them so much, but yeah, it's certainly their defense, though, is nothing to write home about. I like McGinn. I'm holding on the defense. I'll consider them later. Mm-hmm. Anything else to say about Aston Villa?
No, I mean, they have lots of the tricky thing with Villa is they have lots of other midfielders from Grealish to Hourihane to El Ghazi who are just in the mix. But I think it's like sirens on a rocky shore. You just need to go to McGinn for that level of security. He's the one that has the stats of taking the most shots. Yeah, exactly. You like my Odyssean metaphors here.
Okay. I will a slight counter, and this is based on, I've not like compared the two at all, but El Ghazi looks really good. I've been really impressed with him the last, I watched all the Norwich match. I've seen highlights from, I watched most of the Arsenal match they played as well. Attacking returns in his last three matches, he's 0.3 cheaper than McGinn. I think he might actually play a little further forward than McGinn,
too.
So,
he does, for sure.
Yeah. He's interesting, anyway.
Yeah, if you look at the comparison on the Scouts members page, it's just like McGinn just edges El Ghazi by 58% overall, but El Ghazi has McGinn beat on six key stats. Yeah, it's close. It'll be interesting to see where these players are at the end of the season.
Yeah, I think so too. If money was really tight, I think you could consider El Ghazi for 0.3 cheaper. Yeah. So, or if you just were looking for like a total like low ownership kind of differential type player.
Okay, so Bournemouth, Joshua. Yeah, let's talk about Bournemouth. What is there to say other than the truth is out there?
We love Callum the Truth Wilson. We're making those t-shirts. That actually is like that move from joke to thing that actually has to happen. Callum the Truth Wilson, we're coming
shout
for you.
Shout out to FPL in Uganda who made some amazingly hilarious mock-ups of the Callum Wilson the Truth t-shirt.
We clearly jinxed him, right? Because he hadn't gone with a blank the entire season.
It's like being on the cover of the new John Madden game. You're going to have a bad season.
Exactly. So, yeah, great season. He's still down somehow 0.1 from his starting price, despite having 5 goals and 3 assists and 8 matches. You know, Josh King is down 0.2 as well. He certainly hasn't done as well, for sure. But he's also 1.5 million cheaper. So you're kind of getting what you're paid for with him. But 2 goals and 3 assists. He may come into my squad in game week 8 or game week 9, excuse me, just because I would love to have someone for that Norwich match. But, I mean, the thing about I think you were heading this way with Bournemouth, but like what's to be said that hasn't been said about this team every year they've been in the Premier League? You know, it's like a couple forwards that are not too expensive, that are interesting, a defense that's like a total stay away. And I kind of include Diego Rico in that. Although, I mean, I guess if you're on a wild card and you just needed like a fifth defender, then sure, you know, he's fine. But like, you know, you don't really have that, like, I mean, Harry Wilson's okay. But like Fraser isn't even like a starter anymore, apparently. And, which is how do you go from having 14 assists and 7 goals to not being able to crack that team any longer?
Like, chronic IBS.
Can you I mean, can you explain that? Like what I'm missing with Fraser? Like, was it just that he started off cold?
I don't know. I haven't heard anything. I guess I'm not shocked that it's not the talk of, you know, Guardian Football Weekly, what's going on with Brian Fraser. But we want to know, right? BL managers want to know, because, yeah, he was definitely a shining light at Bournemouth. But it's a credit to Eddie Howe, where he's basically just bottling Budweiser over there. Like, a consistency is incredible at Bournemouth, what Eddie Howe's doing. So I will not doubt him. And maybe it's down to my main man, Phil Billing. Phil Billing is going to push anyone out of the team.
Yeah. I was just thinking about when I was watching them a couple weeks ago. If you were, and it's actually funny because the Arsenal match was a 1-0 loss, which is like the kind of result I feel like they never have in a match. But if you were to like just tell a neutral, like it's a Saturday and they're like, what game should I watch? Like, you should just point them to the Bournemouth match, right? Like, whoever they're playing, that's probably going to be the most fun match in any given weekend, you know? Like, super high scoring, like, yeah, late goals, yeah. Defender goals, like all kinds of funky stuff's going to happen in a Bournemouth match.
You're going to get the real Nathan Ake treatment. All right, so that's Bournemouth. Check mark next to them. Moving on to Brighton, which I'm very high on right now after that Spurs capitulation. That's definitely one of those matches where you're like, was Brighton that good or were Spurs just like basically trying to get shipped off to MLS, every last man? Because it was just incredible. That said, my big takeaway, two obvious takeaways from Brighton. One, Connolly is an incredible young player, and he made a fool of Toby Alderweireld on that second goal. But Lewis Dunk, the fact that Tyrone Mings is in the England squad over Lewis Dunk is insane. Like, Lewis Dunk is in some incredible form this season. And I think if you're around for a 4-5-4-6 defender, he has got to be near the top of your list. And I'll tell you exactly why. You go back to the West Ham 1-1 draw in game week 2. Lewis Dunk walked away from that match with a bonus point. So his baseline is incredible. He's really involved. The assist to Connolly on that second goal was terrific. So he's just in great form. Have I talked about Lewis Dunk enough?
Almost. The only thing I'll add here is that he's on 4 yellow cards. So he's 1 yellow card away from a suspension. I'm not sure that if you bring in a player like him, it's not for 1 week anyway, but something to keep in mind. He will be suspended. It will happen. note that, I guess. Otherwise, we're just sort of waiting for, Mopay looks good. He's a little too, I wish he was like 5 million and then he'd be kind of a fun, interesting option, but 6 million is a little too much.
We've got a question here from Peekapool who wants to know, given Brighton's form, who is the best player to get in? So if you had no Brighton players, I assume you would look immediately to the defense before you tried to pick and choose from the cadre of attackers?
Sure. Yes, for sure. He suggested, these Montoya, Byrne, Dunk, Webster. I don't even know what Webster's first name is, so I'm not going to.
He's the Brazilian. His name is just Webster, like Fred.
Is that right? Oh, wow. I just pulled him up at the finish to say he doesn't even have – he's a vampire, I think. He has no image. He's just an empty – he's an empty kit.
Yeah, you have to invite Webster into your home or else he can't join you. Okay, so what I'm going to actually – so I'm typing Webster Brighton into Google. Guess what his first name is. Just give me a guess.
I already Googled him. Sorry. I'm sorry to say.
Adam, it's kind of disappointing. It's a wonderful name, Adam, but I was kind of hoping for something a little more compelling.
I like Dan Byrne as a name a lot. That's another one of their defenders. Dan Byrne.
I know.
Kind of fun. Like it sounds like something you say like when you're like
Dan
yourself.
Byrne.
You know, like Dan Byrne. Like, yeah, you spill some, boiling pot of water.
Yeah,
in your eye
I remember
like
Dan
that.
Byrne. He had a brief run in the Fulham defense. So he's a real tall drink of water, that guy.
Well, yeah. So I think we're agreed on Dunk. The four yellow cards are annoying, but yeah, he's the cream of that crop, and he's only 0.1 more than the other guys at 4.6. So,
but I think it's basically, and we can just roll this into the Burnley conversation, because I think it's just a combination. Either you get Matt Ryan in goal with a Burnley fullback, or you get Nick Pope in goal with Lewis Dunk.
Yep. Yeah, and I have both, actually. I have Ryan and Pope, and I guess it's too much money back there, because they equal each other on 7 this game. It feels like they're kind of playing pretty equal the whole time. So I'm not a big on the set and forget 4.5 keeper, but I don't know. Like, no one's keeping clean sheets, so what's the point, right? Or I guess weirdly they both did this game week. So yeah, goalkeeper rotation though, it's so hard to get right.
Yes. It's just a pain. It's a headache. So the only other thing to say about Burnley is Ashley Barnes and Chris Wood. Is the story written, or is there more to be told?
I think the story is written, my friend. We knew what we were getting with them. You know what Ashley Barnes is. He had a really hot start. It's now 5 blanks in a row, which is kind of, that's more than I would have expected. Those are blanks in a Brighton match, a Norwich match, an Aston Villa match, an Everton match. Yeah, I would have thought one of those he would get a goal, just with his kind of direct style. But yeah, and I guess Chris Wood kind of took his goals, right? Mm-hmm. they had 3 of them in the last 3 matches. He's got, like, it's funny because I'm pulling up all these guys right now on the site, and they all have, their photos are all terrible. I mean, Chris Wood is like super, he's super bulky, by the way. Like, his kit doesn't fit him at all, but he's like, you can tell he's filling out in the arms. Okay. It's gotta be a hard suit to that's gonna be made to order, I think. Nothing to be said about, I'm sad that my boy McNeil on Burnley is, that's not happening, because I really liked watching him play last year. Yeah. He's got 3 assists in the season. I mean, it's not like it's a total flop, but it's just not, I suppose just any midfielder in that Burnley team, you really need to be like 5.5 or cheaper for you to really consider having them, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So Burnley, I think there's a lot of meat on this bone. Chelsea going down to Stamford Bridge. this is the value team in FPL this season, from Tamari in the back to Mason Mount in the midfield to Tammy Abraham up front. What's not to love about all 3 of these guys?
Yeah, I'll give Tamari an incomplete, just because that whole defense I'm not super confident in still, but yeah, I totally agree with you on Mount, and they're borderline essential, I would say, Mount and Abraham at that price. Yeah. Because like, for all the talk of this being like a full-on youth movement at Chelsea, like, you look at that team top to bottom and there is still a ton of massive talent, right? You have Azpilicueta, you've got, Jorginho, Willian, N'Golo Kante. I mean, you just have players, through that team who are starters. Christian Pulisic, of course, Brandon. just players who are, starters. Starters on their national team now. But I mean, kidding aside, right? I mean, N'Golo Kante is a brilliant player. Azpilicueta is a brilliant player. Jorginho is very good. Looks actually better this year than he did last season. And then in Kepa too, who's like, he gets a lot of flack, but it's certainly a decent keeper. So I think, so you have this youth movement, but then it's sort of like the spine of this team is still a Champions League level spine, and so then suddenly you're in a position where you have these, like, and basically, so it's like they're providing the spine, and then up front you just got Tammy and Mount, like, running wild, scoring goals. And
isn't this just a mirror image of Wolverhampton last season? You've got Neves and Moutinho in the midfield doing the Kante and Jorginho thing, and then it's Jota and back in those lovely days last season when Jota was classed as a midfielder and Jimenez up front, it's Mount and Abraham. They're priced just like Wolves were last season. I think the results are similar. Their defense is compelling, but not going to keep a ton of clean sheets, kind of similar to what Wolves were last week. You have Alonso making a minor comeback to become the next Matt Doherty. By the way, thank goodness Matt Doherty is kind of under the radar now, so we don't have to humiliate ourselves trying to fake pronounce his
mispronounce his name. Yeah,
but yeah, I think Chelsea are the Wolves this season.
Great comparison. Yeah, it's a great comparison. And Abraham feels like a must. His ownership is getting super high too. He's up to 41% ownership. So, you know, they got this amazing run of fixtures through early December, really. One difficult match away to Chelsea game week 13, and then everything else is a match where you'd expect them to score, you know, one or two goals in all of them, basically. I feel like I really want an Ntamie as well. His price is, I mean, it's getting up there. I mean, 7.7 is like pretty high, but it's still reasonable.
I have a confession to make. I did a bad thing, and I made a transfer the Sunday going into a 2-week break to catch Tammy's price rise. So I am the owner of a brand new Ntamie Abraham. And I'm kind of freaking out right now. see what happens with this lad over the international break. I think he'll be fine. But we've got a question here from FPL Chancellor. Says, is the double up on Mount and Abraham a basic rank protector? It feels like only having one of them isn't enough. So it seems like you and I are both leaning toward the double up is not only is it a rank protector, but it's just it's a great source of value points, perhaps the best.
Yeah. I think so. I feel like, for all the reasons we just talked about, I think that they're still great value. And I mean, until Ntamie gets to about 9 million, I think he still feels like really good value. It's just amazing that we're talking this way. I mean, you and I were like, so out on Ntamie going into the season.
I still don't have to like him. Okay. Plenty of diehard Everton fans will bring in a Liverpool player to their squad. So don't take this as my stamp of approval on Ntamie Abraham, even though it basically is.
Yeah. But it's also like, you're not like, you know, even just watching that this team with your eyes, you know, you can see how the form he's looks in, great. His confidence. I mean, he looks awesome. Great. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he does. Yeah. So let's move on to Crystal Palace. And again, I was really impressed. I mean, they're tied for fourth right now in the table. They're such a funny team. Like, I don't know if they're any good for fantasy, but I admire this team.
You know? Yeah, it's incredible. Like, it feels like when the season started, no one knew what to do with Palace. They're like, well, Roy is freaking old and there hasn't been any change in this squad at all. What's going to happen? It looks like they'll probably be near the basement. And suddenly they've just come on really strong. Their defense, I guess the one signing they made, what was Gary Cahill? And suddenly he's got the right stuff. But their defense looks incredibly solid. And I guess the one weird thing here is that Zaha has not produced any points. So I think that was the impulse that you and I had in bringing in West Ham defenders close around this Palace game. Was like, Palace can't score.
Right.
But it seems like they're finding a way, whether it's through Townsend or Jordan Ayew. But I'm still, like you, not really sold that as many things, glowing things as we can say about Palace, there's no reason for me at this moment to consider these players
from a fantasy. I think Martin Kelly 4.1 million crazy 25% ownership in the game, 6 points. You know, it looks like he's pretty much locked down that spot, right? He missed a couple game weeks and then he was right back in game week 7 and 8. Awful run of fixtures through November, and then quite a nice run from there. So I think there will be We will have an occasion to talk about them. It just won't be for another month or two.
Right. Okay. So Everton, is anyone in a worse position than Marco Silva right now? As far as managers, I mean, there are managers vying for the worst.
Well, there's actually some contenders. Poch, possibly Oli, possibly, well, so I guess Steve Bruce just won, so I guess he's in a better spot. It does not look good. I can't imagine that Silva. I mean, they just like they're in this amazing run of matches too. It's not like he's, you know, it's not like they got beat up with tough fixture. You know, the thing about this Everton team is it feels like they never beat a team that they shouldn't beat. You know, like they never surprise you. You know,
occasionally in the Merseyside derby, they will put up a decent fight.
Sure.
But it's just kind of
Under Silva, though, I mean.
Yeah. Oh, the last season, they it took some incredible heroics from Origi and terrible anti-heroics from Jordan Pickford. Yeah. But I agree. And this team is just pointed in the wrong direction right now. And they have appealing assets, but they're just too expensive. I mean, Lucas Dean is just kind of emblematic of FPL at Everton right now. And that's a great player who's overpriced for where the team is performing. So it's just all throwing your Everton assets overboard right now. We'll come back to them maybe after Christmas.
Maybe. Yeah. All right. Let's move on to Leicester City. Mark, we got a couple of questions here, kind of similar questions. Mark Perez says, which Leicester asset to get on? Madison, Vardy, Pereira as a cheeky punt. And Matthew Hall says, can you discuss the merits of Vardy versus Madison as your sole Leicester attacking asset? So I guess the first question here is, do you want a Leicester attacking asset or do you feel like you need one? And if so, Vardy, Madison, or player X?
Yeah, it's a weird one. I am a Vardy owner. I brought Vardy in on game week 5 wild card, and I haven't gotten much from him beyond the brace in game week 7, which, trust me, I'm happy about. Madison has it seems like the more versatile player, you know, in real life and also from an FPL perspective. He's scored as many goals as Vardy has since I brought Vardy into my team, and he's on set pieces and all this and that and the other thing. Vardy just hasn't been seeing enough service for me, judging by my eye test. That said, like, I am thrilled to have Vardy going into game week 9 in this incredible run that Leicester has from Burnley, Southampton, Palace, Arsenal, Brighton, Everton, Watford, Villa, Norwich, all the way into mid-December. There will be goals for him. I guess if you want to just add onto the versatility argument, Vardy does have penalties. That is a plus. I think it just kind of depends on where you have room. You could make an equally compelling case for Madison or Vardy, depending on how malleable your FPL squad is, either up front or in your midfield. So I think whichever works best for where your squad is, just go for that one. Don't overcomplicate it.
Yeah, I think I agree. I mean, and I guess if I were to, if pressed, you know, like let's say you're on a wild card or something, I think in that case, I would probably go for Madison just because I think he's a little easier to fit into your team. You can still have a lot of the other players that you want to have in there. But yeah, I kind of agree with you. I mean, like I could probably bring in Madison. I mean, the problem is like that slot, it's kind of Mason Mount's slot right now, you know? And so it's like, I don't want to drop Mount for Madison. It feels like that's like the same player. It actually might be a downgrade a little bit in terms of fantasy. I feel like I'm a little stuck. Like it'd be easier in some ways to like move Allaire to Vardy than it would be to bring in Madison. So yeah, I don't know. I think I'm with you. I think it's a really hard one to answer. And so I think the answer is it depends. The most boring of all answers.
But then we get to the curious case of Ricardo Pereira. Would you, in this world that we live, would you pay $6.1 million for a Leicester defender? It seems too high for me.
Yeah, it seems too high for me too. I think that I already have Sanyochu, you know, so that feels like enough, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know, two feels like a lot. You know, that's like doubling up on teams that are just okay is never like a great strategy. And they're just sort of interesting. I mean, like the way you were talking about Vardy too, and it's like a weirdly loaded midfield. You know, I'm just sort of looking at all the players they have in there right now. And it's even Perez, who has been sort of the much loathed Perez, you know, because of the tough start to season.
Perez, quite, more like Pariahs, you know what like I'm saying? Perez.
But, you know, he has actually looked really, he's played well the last couple of matches. I guess he actually only played 17 minutes that Liverpool match.
My takeaway from that Liverpool match was Tielemans was walking. He looked completely disinterested. I don't know about this guy. Yuri Tielemans, he was off last weekend. I would like to see more of him. I think they just need a little bit. Their attack seems just for as great as Leicester look and as great as that squad looks, there's something slightly muted about the attack. And when Brendan Rodgers has to continually bring in Mark Albrighton to ignite that attack, it's somewhat worrying if you're looking to spend a lot of money. And just coming back to the defensive point, when we're going to just move right into Liverpool now, is the religion now, the current religion, is moving money out of your defense. We have a lot of options in the attack. That's where so many of the points are, because clean sheets are very difficult to track. If you have a clean sheet option in Soyuncu at now 4-7 over a 6-1 Pereira, you're going to need that money. You're going to need that 1.4 to afford your Liverpool defender, because if any defender is essential right now, it has got to be Trent Alexander-Arnold, who is just picking up bonus points for fun.
I know. I hate that I don't have my team right now. I feel like every time he doesn't do something huge, I feel like I've dodged a bullet. Like, I don't know how he isn't on like 4 goals and 4 assists in the season already or something like that. Like, feels like he is just so, he's creating like an insane number of, he's basically a midfielder in terms of the chances he's creating. He's like a winger. So, all right. So let's move on to Liverpool. I mean, we just talked about Trent. We both want him. Mm-hmm. Not a lot to say there, because we just talk about this team so much. There's a question here from AJ. He says, for those that either dropped or are looking to acquire KDB, is there any reason not to just swap one of Sterling or Salah out given their form and price? It seemed unthinkable a month ago, but they've let a lot of managers down since then. So the Salah out thing is, I get it. You know, you and I actually talked about this on last week's podcast a little bit, but while watching the Leicester match, I didn't think Salah out. I didn't think I felt like he was super involved. I felt like he had some chances. I felt like he should have had, if not maybe goals, I felt like he had opportunities to create, you know, assists in that match or created, you know, moments that could have led to assists. I don't know. Like, did that Leicester match make you feel any differently about Salah? I know you don't have him in your team, but like, what'd you think?
Well, yeah, I guess I somewhat agree with you. I've had issues with Salah's form over the last 3 or 4 weeks, and I think he's just not looked at the top of his game. But that is, I'm trying to find a way of saying I don't think he's in great form without, I think he's still great, and he will come good. He will average out as a typical great FPL asset over the span of the season. And I think I said this last week, and that the trick with Salah is, if you're going to mess around with going without him, you're going to have to find the exact window by luck and fortune and determination to not have him. I am in a very lucky patch right now of not having Salah, and he's been relatively quiet. I'm still terrified. I didn't look at that Leicester game and say, aha, I'm so correct, and he's washed up. Have fun playing for Genk next season. Absolutely not. Like, I will need to get him back. At some point, definitely after game week 12, you know, you expect kind of a tight, gritty match against Man City in game week 12. The bigger dilemma I'm having is to watch that Leicester match over the weekend, to then say, come back to the old chestnut of, do you want Mane versus Salah?
Right.
Mane continues to answer the doubters and the haters. And I mean, there's still only ascendancy of Mane can be overstated after a match like Leicester, and Salah didn't get any returns because there's still only 2 points and 57 to 55 points separating the two, Mane with the 57. But still, the form that Mane has over Salah, I feel like to use our framework, if I were on wildcard, I would be going for Mane right now.
Same, reluctantly. Now that Mane's price keeps rising, which I think makes it a little easier to hold on to Salah. I mean, at this point, you're only talking about a 0.8 million difference. And based on that, I feel okay with it. You know, like, this actually came up in the podcast with Davey last night. You know, last season when the difference was like 3.5 million, I think Mane started off at 9.5 and Salah was 13 million. Then it's almost easy you know, in some ways to just to make that move. But I think especially this season when they look like they're kind of equal in some ways, but when the price is almost the same, I still feel like Salah's creating more chances. I wish he was still doing corners. He and Trent were alternating to start the season, and now Trent's just on all of them, which is reduces Salah's value just a little bit. I'm actually surprised because I actually thought he was pretty good delivery on corners as well. But I guess Trent's just so good on corners too. So yeah, it's kind of a. I think I'm with you. I think it still feels like just based on the longer track record, I still feel like Salah does. Does end up being like kind of the far better fantasy option by like the end of the season, you know, like I think he could outscore Mane by like 40 points or something like that. Yeah, obviously right now it's basically like a draw.
Yeah. I mean the Milner the Salah going off minutes before they get that penalty is had to really mess with your brain.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people said that Milner would have taken that regardless. I'm not 100% sure about that. I mean, he probably would have, I don't know, but like you could definitely see Salah like just demanding the ball there. Right. Like that would not shock
there's
me.
There's been a fair amount of that this season amongst other teams. All right. So anything else we need to talk about Liverpool before we take take a break?
No, I think we're good.
Okay.
See you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Brandon, I want to take a moment to talk about Axios. Following a team you love in 2019 can be time-consuming. Trying to follow everything happening in sports, almost impossible. That's why you and I, Brandon and Josh, subscribe to Axios Sports. That's you, Brandon, by the way. We subscribe to Axios Sports, a modern sports page delivered directly to your email inbox. It is the best free daily newspaper in the land. When you sign up for free at sports.axios.com, you get all the best stories from the Premier League, NFL, NBA, cricket, ping pong, and everything in between.
It's a lot of in-betweens.
Wide range. Axios Sports also highlights the most important stats and trends, giving you the ability to stay informed. It's super simple to sign up, and it is free. F-R-E-E, Brandon, free. Join the 100,000 sports fans, Brandon, who get caught. You've already done it, Brandon, but other people who have not joined yet.
Join me.
Well, join the 100,000 sports fans, get caught up the day before it even begins. And best of all, there's no paywall, no subscription fee, nothing. This is free, curated sports content delivered directly to you. Sign up at sports.axios.com. Thank you.
That was amazing, Josh. Josh, I have a special message for you because you know that I love Harry's razors because it offers quality, durable blades at a fair price. Join the 10 million who have tried Harry's and claim your special offer at harrys.com/bluewire. Why try Harry's? Well, it's pretty simple. Harry's founders were two regular guys tired of getting ripped off and paying for overpriced razors. Harry's razors are available at just $2 per blade. This fall, refresh your wallet and your face with the Harry's Trial Set, which comes with a weighted ergonomic handle for an easy grip, a five-blade razor with a lubricating strip and a trimmer blade for a close shave, rich lathering gel that will leave you smelling great, and a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy on the go. Listeners of our show can redeem that free trial set. Once again, that's harrys.com/bluewire. Go to harrys.com/bluewire to redeem your offer and let them know that Always Cheating sent you.
Always Cheating! All right, Brandon, we're back. We're into the second half of our 20-team review, and I think we're going to skip a couple of these teams in the second half.
No.
Just a fair warning to all of our...
Yeah, we're not going to skip Manchester City.
Not Man City, but the Man United fans are our legion. We respect you, but there's not a lot to say fantasy-wise about your team right now. But Brandon, let's first start off with Man City. That is a team we can't skip. I've got a couple questions here. I'm just going to read off a bunch of questions because they're all in a similar category here. But there's a lot of this is where a lot of people are worried, I think.
Okay.
So here we go. Yeah. FPL Wannabe says, with Sterling dropping like Sterling after the Brexit referendum, is it time to drop Sterling? It's actually hard to say Sterling three times in a sentence. Boston Prof says, what to do about Man City? Stick with three players. Avoid the defense given that the injuries have clearly hurt. Avoid the offense due to rotation. It's also confusing. Chris Day Carey says, who's replacing Ederson in my team? Because he's off. And the Desperately Seeking Dusan says, should we drop the narrative that the likes of Oda and other weak defenders are good picks because City keeps so much possession? So starting with those latter questions, what do you, Otamendi.
Okay. So I think that we were guilty of putting this message out into the universe, this whole notion that City keeping the ball would just, like, it doesn't matter who's playing in defense. Otamendi is one of the worst central defenders that I have laid eyes on in the last 365 days. He does this every single match, diving in, trying to make these ludicrous heroic tackles when he doesn't need to. Ken Early was going off on Second Captains on Monday about it. All you have to do is contain Raul Jimenez on that play. Instead, he just decides to dive in. And he did that at least three different times during that match. Yeah, City defense,
it was crazy.
Gotta dump all of these guys. Dump them all.
Quick, a quick anecdote about that. I was going apple picking yesterday afternoon with the family. We were driving upstate, and my wife was driving. So I, like the addict that I am, was watching this match on my phone. And so the first goal happens, and I'm like, wow. Like, it was one of those moments where I didn't even care about fantasy. I was like, I can't believe this is happening. You know, this first of all, I couldn't believe that Traore finished a shot.
Beautifully.
You know, that was amazing in of itself. Beautifully. And then I'm in the back seat with our young daughter, and I'm sort of talking to her for a minute. And then I look down again, and I'm like, oh, I guess they're showing a replay of that goal. Cause it was like kind of the same goal, you know?
It was.
Yeah, it was crazy. And an even better finish, I think, on the second one. Same goal celebration. And then you're like, wait, the score just went from 1-2? Like, did that just happen? That was wild. I mean, it was one of those moments where you realize that you have not lost your soul to fantasy completely, because I was genuinely, like, I was just so excited. It was so exciting. I don't know, you know, it was so cool. Like, I think everyone kind of likes Wolves, you know, like, they're a fun team to root for. And like, it wasn't some fluky kind of Norwich City thing, you know, it was like, they just won. Like, they just like beat them fair and square, you know? And it was exciting.
They did. City certainly weren't at it during that match, not to take anything away from Wolves. And Mahrez was the standout player, the standout guilty party for me. He seemed to just be buckling under the pressure of KDB being out, and he's finally found his way into the starting 11 consistently. It didn't happen, and he bungled so many opportunities. And not a lot of other players in the attack for City were all that great, but Raheem Sterling,
David Silva should have had something in that match.
He should, but putting that free kick off the frame really changed things a bit. But Sterling, how can you say anything different about Sterling that we weren't saying about Mo Salah just a few minutes back, where it feels like the same situation where you have to, through the good times and the bad, stick with these players. And I do appreciate part of FPL is recognizing patterns, being quick to move, being among the first to move. But there are still patterns that you have to recognize over a longer period of time. And you just look at so many seasons past, Sterling will be there at the end.
Yeah.
You're going to be missing out if you drop him. I don't know if that's me acting out of fear or what.
No, I agree. I mean, he still has 6 goals in the season too. You know, he scored in game week 7, you know, and he's been in great form. And he's kind of like Mo Salah, actually. I mean, Salah had a brace at midweek, you know, and Sterling scored. I think Sterling did he have a goal and an assist when he came out as a sub in the Champions League. I think he did at midweek. And so, like, both players just kind of used up all their goals, I guess. It was actually funny because I think Robertson scored too at midweek in that Champions League. I was like, their Champions League form did not carry over to the Premier League. So I think we talk about City a ton, so I don't think we need to go on too long about them right now. But I will just note quickly, right before we move on, that Otamendi has the craziest 4-match scoreline you will ever see. A 1-point return, a 15-point return where you got a goal, an assist, a clean sheet, and no bonus points.
Classic.
And then a 1-point return and a 1-point return. So he's averaged 18 points over the last 4 matches.
He's totaled 18.
Yeah, he has an average 18, of course. He has totaled 18 points. That would be amazing.
It's a Luka Dean-esque run.
It is. Yeah, he just needs to add a couple own goals in there, and he's got it.
I think we're very lucky that the wheels have come off the Man City defense. This is just one less thing that FPL managers have to worry about. You know, if you just chalk them off to being bad, focus your attention on the City attack, and go out there and relish the Lewis Dunks and the Soyuncus of the world.
I agree. Maybe even bringing Diego Rico as a fifth defender.
Yeah, there we go. Get
more money. So Man United, as I mentioned before, I think we can move on. Is there anything you want to say about them? Any thoughts or, I don't know, thoughts and prayers?
There's not much to say. Like, Rashford's form has dropped off a cliff, and the hope with Man United was that their defense would be the thing, the consistent thing to invest in, and that also hasn't held true, and injuries haven't helped. Maguire missing that golden opportunity in front of goal to score didn't happen. Yeah, there's nothing appealing about United right now. I'm sad to say. I'm kind of rooting for the Ole Revolution, but it's on pause.
Why? I will say you're right about Daniel James, though. Four blanks in a row for him after a really hot start. I was definitely thinking about him for a little bit there. But I think he's a player who probably looks better when you have Martial and Pogba back in the side.
Yeah, I think you're right. Know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's move on to Newcastle. I have to say, I don't have a ton of things to say about them either.
I have one player I want to shout out, and that is Jethro Willems, who looked phenomenal over the weekend. He got the assist, awesome, but he was dribbling around fools left and right. He was so confident on the ball, quick, strong. I was blown away. I love this guy, Jethro Willems.
Yeah, I did not realize somehow that he was a defender. I thought he was like a winger or something. I did not like that's on me, I will admit. But yeah, 0.4%, one goal, one assist in the season. I don't know. You know, they have a decent run of matches coming up. Like, maybe the defense is worth considering. Nothing in the midfield or the attack, clearly. But maybe the defense is okay. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, Bruce has kept teams up before, you know. So, I don't know. Maybe there's something there.
But Bruce is just out there trying to navigate this newspaper campaign of playing these brothers in the midfield to distract from the fact that he's a terrible manager. And now they kind of bailed him out with these headlines.
That sounds like a Tolkien novel, doesn't the Longstaff brothers? Or maybe the brothers Longstaff.
I could see the brothers Longstaff in the locker room singing some sort of epic song while taking drags from a jug of mead.
Like one of those super long pipes, like a long smoking pipe, you know?
yeah, exactly. All right, speaking of things that sound like they're from a Tolkien novel, Norwich City, where we must go to throw something into a volcano. We have a couple questions. I'll just read them off quickly. Yap, it's me, says, is there any cake left at the Pook? We are just scraping the bottom of the party metaphor barrel here.
It's the new couch metaphor.
Is there any cake left at the Pookie party, or is it now? Props to Yap, it's me, for going for a Finland pun here, or is it finished? And FPL Prince wants to know, with Pookie faltering, do we look at Wilson or Vardy? So you are a once celebrating, now long-suffering Pookie owner, Josh. What's the deal?
Not that long-suffering, but yeah, 3 weeks. I mean, he's I feel like Walter Sobchak in The Big Lebowski right now. You know, that scene where he pounds his hands at the diner and says, I'm staying.
Mm-hmm. I'm drinking my coffee.
I'm drinking my coffee.
Supreme Court has roundly rejected prior restraint.
I am sticking for a little while longer. I'm keeping him at least for the next two matches. God help me. Bournemouth don't keep a lot of clean sheets. I think I don't know. I'm just like, if I didn't have other problems, dropping him again, it feels like this is a recurring theme right now, but dropping him is a luxury that I don't have. I have other issues that I've got to fix first. And so I'm sticking. I still think he looks good in attack. He looked better in this match than he did in the Palace match. So that was encouraging. He had some chances at least. So, yeah, it is what it is. It's not fun, but, you know, when you bring in 6.5 million strikers and you start them every game week, you're going to have runs like this, you know? Yeah. So I'm okay.
I do think you're right. And not being a Pookie owner, it still strikes me as being correct that moving Pookie right now is a luxury move, and it assumes that you have no other issues because, yeah, ahead of that Bournemouth match, even though the away form is in play, is like you'll still have a striker with any track record of note that is guaranteed to play 90 minutes. So if you probably have more pressing issues than Pookie to take care of, and just put the price drops out of your mind. You probably made money on this player to begin with. So just coast on that for a little while longer and you'll be okay. Yeah. I do think it's a luxury transfer still at this point.
Yeah. And that's, you know, Cantwell is one who I think it's fine to get rid of. I wouldn't bring him in a wild card probably, but having bought him at 4.5 million, I still feel like he's decent value there. I mean,
there are no humble brags allowed on this podcast, Josh. So, okay. Yeah. We'll strike that comment from the record.
I have never had him for any of his actual attacking returns. He's been on my bench both times he's had attacking returns. So, yeah, I did not have his 6 points for Bad City. Shocker. I did not think he would get it. It is crazy that Pookie and Cantwell combined for 18 points in that match. Mm-hmm. That is wild. Although maybe less wild if we saw Dumba Traore or score a brace. I think he had one goal in his Wolves career before that. So, yeah. All right. So moving on from Norwich to Sheffield. Sheffield's they're a one player team, right?
Lundstrom. It's a one word section. It's Lundstrom. He's a must have. Get him.
Yeah, and I would argue that he is almost in a. You could start to really get more serious about just starting him every week. You know, mm-hmm. I think in my current bus team, I actually have him starting right now. I don't think that's going to last, but you know, I just feel pretty good about, you know, I don't feel good about clean sheets in general. And so why not have the player who's playing out of position, you know, starting in my team, like maybe mm-hmm. I'll get an assist or a goal or something.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going to struggle with my bus team right now. Lundstrom is first on my bench and Diop, who is away, Everton, is getting the start over him. You know, it's like a magic eye poster. Like I can stare at it long and see something different every time. But I don't know if that's the true way that magic eye posters work. But anyway,
I've never been able to see one. I've never been able to see the painting in the magic eye. I don't have my brain doesn't work that way or something. All right. Anyway, on that weird note, Southampton.
Pass.
Is this a pass too?
Yeah, yep. This is
full,
a pass.
Full pass.
Yeah, we could formulate a discussion over Lundstrom. I have nothing on Southampton. Goodbye.
And Vestergaard didn't even play yesterday, so I don't know what's going on anymore. Like, why was he injured? He's not flagged, so that's odd.
He's getting a haircut, much like David Monday during the Breakfast Club.
So Tottenham Hotspur, Brandon.
Yes.
Pronounced all the syllables that time.
Well done.
TRPLR says, what are your thoughts on Son? I adore him, but I'm worried about Spurs' form. I'm thinking of moving him to Mount.
TRPLR, I'll just jump in right now, Josh, and say he answered his own question. Son to Mount, that's the move. You're right to adore Son. You're also right to be worried about Spurs' form. It's pretty cut and dry for me.
Yeah, I mean, we're negging these teams all down the line right now, but there's just not a lot to say. I mean, there's no one you want in this Spurs team right now. And you and I are both a little bitter, I think, for bringing in Kane. Yeah. In game week three and having that, you know, backfire so roundly. I mean, he's just, five goals and one assist in the season. It's not like it's he hasn't humiliated himself or anything, but, you know, he doesn't look like, I mean, all you have to do is watch these matches. Like there's no one who watches these matches would think, Harry Kane looks amazing at one of my fantasy team.
There, these performances most acutely against Brighton this weekend of like blanking on this match was so incredibly abject. Like it is the talk of the football punditry sphere. Like what is going on there? You can't explain how a team as high class as Tottenham would put in such an abject performance. There are so many worries and doubts that it, it bleeds into FPL, where it's just not worth investing premium prices on this team right now.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's Champions League prices and Europa League returns right now. So, you know, that's what you're getting. Yeah. All right, let's move on to that. Was kind of clever, right? Let's bottle that one up, Brandon, and put that on a T-shirt too. Mm. Well, we'll sell that with our Callum Wilson T-shirt.
I love it.
Yeah, moving on to Watford, and I've got a lot of things to say here about Watford.
I know. I'm looking at your notes here. I don't know how we're going to get through all of this.
No, you know what? I just hit the wrong button. I deleted all of my notes.
Oh no! Now it just says Andre Gray 60 times.
I was going to go deep. I wanted to spend 20 minutes on them. Now I guess it's just a pass. I guess we just move on.
Yeah, sorry, Watford. You'll bounce back, I believe. I don't know.
Maybe let's not insult our listeners, let's not talk
about how weird it is that Decore's form is so off of a cliff. That's a weird one. Anyway, yes, West Ham. Let's talk about West Ham. So both you and I are on this very wobbly bandwagon of Sebastian Haller, and yeah, I dropped him for Tammy Abraham on Sunday, so that problem is solved. Then we both bought into the West Ham defense, and I think you put it pretty succinctly, and it was just kind of a process of elimination. If you're already covered with Brighton and Burnley, then just looking at the upcoming fixtures, West Ham kind of wins out by process of elimination. Do you still feel the same way, even with Fabianski out for quite a long time now?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think so. I mean, Roberto seemed fine in that match. Even the goals I felt like were kind of fluky. I mean, I didn't think that Crystal Palace were threatening too much. It was kind of just fluky. I mean, the Declan Rice handball was just dumb. Like, it was just silly, you know? And then that Jordan Ayew goal was just a weird VAR. Like, kind of, the ball just kind of fell to him. It was like a little breakdown in play, but it came after a free piece one, a set piece one by Zaha, who had just been kind of torturing, that whole team all match. So I still feel okay about that defense. I think they're pretty solid, actually, in general. I thought Ogbonna had a pretty good game, and so yeah, I don't know. I feel fine with them, and I don't regret the transfer. I think, I don't know that I'm going to start them away to Everton, but then after that, you've got, what is it? Yeah. Sheffield, Newcastle, and Burnley in the next three. And I plan to start my defenders for all three of those. Mm-hmm. So Yarmolenko, we really like, we've talked about him on last week's podcast, and I'm still okay with Allaire. I mean, I don't feel like awesome about him, but, you know, again, their run is great. And so I'm going to keep the faith for right now. The one thing I will note about this West Ham team is they need a Mark Noble replacement. Like, he is, I know he's like the captain of the team and much love, but like, that team is way too reliant on Mark Noble, I feel like, to start anything, you know? It's like they need someone who can link up better between the defense and the forwards, because you have these super creative players in Felipe Anderson and Miguel Lanzini. And Allaire too, I think, who, you know, he knocks down the ball really. He's like a faster Giroud in some ways. I'm not sure, he doesn't finish as well as Giroud, but he's got some Giroud kind of qualities. And, you know, but it feels like everything kind of slows down while they wait for Mark Noble to to sort of bring up the ball and get it to them.
Maybe. I mean, I'm actually a Mark Noble fan. I'm part of the Mark Noble Appreciation Society. That's my dark secret. Mm-hmm. I actually really like him. So.
Okay. Well, fair enough. I think he's old and slow. So
that's fine. We can have it only helps the podcast to have different opinions on Mark Noble.
On Mark Noble. That's true. All right. Final team, Brandon. Wolves. Finally something to talk about with Wolves.
They finally emerged.
Yeah. I tweeted this earlier, and so I guess I'm going to repeat myself here in the podcast, but Jimenez is suddenly a very interesting asset. He is 7.1 million. He's dropped 0.4 since the start of the season. He did not get called up by the Mexican national team. He's under 10% ownership. This team has finally found some decent form. He's been immune to Europa League rotation so far in the season. He's on penalties. and they play Southampton, Newcastle, and Aston Villa in three of the next four. And even Arsenal away is not a bad fixture, really. Is there any interest in Raul Jimenez?
Do you know who else had a standout performance against Manchester City only to go quiet for three successive matches?
Don't do it to me. No, don't even say his name. I can't.
Jimenez is the new Pookie. I mean, obviously, we've had some great times with Jimenez. He was the Tammy Abraham last season. Just incredible value, great goal scorer, fun player to watch. It was fun to watch him dribble circles, just basically do donuts around Otamendi over the weekend. But it's just one. Mm-hmm. It's one performance. What we don't know is how much that performance was an outlier, because what we truly know of Wolves this season is that they've been sluggish and run ragged by the Europa League. And I just want to see one more complete performance before I'm going to get sucked into it. And that's like, I basically can't argue with any of these things, where Jimenez is a tremendous player, tremendous FPL asset, and he's finally getting at 7.1 to a price that feels better. But that said, I'm not ready yet, Josh. I know you want to get married, but I'm not ready yet.
Yeah, I'm just kind of I'm looking for something. I wanna like.
So that's it, right?
I'm looking for that fun player to bring in.
And is that it? Is he going to be a poison that a lot of managers are just like, I want? Not a lot is working. Oh, Jimenez, he's good. He had a great performance. I'm going to buy in that and see if that's going to be going to spark something this season. So I just worry that people are going to buy into that and they're just going to end up, you know, backsliding with Jimenez.
Well, that could be. I mean, I'm not like, I have not made my proposed Jimenez transfer yet or anything like that, but I'm a little intrigued. He's turned my head a little bit, you know, in this moment where you're getting a little bored, a little frustrated. He could be a fun asset. I don't know.
Okay.
Is he better than Abraham or Wilson? No.
Yeah. And okay. I don't want to, because this is the last team, I don't want to end this section being super negative. It is good. It's a good thing. And I hope that Wolves and Jimenez in particular really comes back, because they would be a great addition to our FPL discussions every week. I want it to happen. I'm hopeful. It's just kind of like, trying to proceed with caution.
Fair. Yeah. I think I can't really disagree with you on that one, because he's like eighth on like the list of forwards you'd really want right now. You know, if you include like Firmino and Vardy in that category too. Mm-hmm. And you have to put him below Callum Wilson. You have to put him below
Tammy.
Even Allaire is like a flip a coin, you know, over who's the better asset, at least over the next few game weeks. So, I'm glad we talked this out. You're right. Jimenez sucks. And
What about Traore at 5 million for your midfield? So if you're looking to replace Cantwell, can I sell? Speaking of flavors of the week, just based on one performance, guy who's like never scored a goal ever, and he comes off a brace.
I'm amazed that he's played 90 minutes in four of the last five. I don't think of him as a real starter in that team. Is he replacing somebody? I guess
he's playing in Doherty's spot. And then when Doherty came on in the second half, Traore moved up front.
Right. Yeah. So he's kind of playing like a spot back then, basically. Right.
Yeah.
And then he got both of his goals when he was playing as as more of a, you know, wide band.
You go by the Peter Blake rule of don't buy into players who are playing positions farther back in the field. So by that logic, Traore is a stay away.
I want to enjoy Traore, and I feel like I wouldn't if he was in my team.
That's a good point. Very good point.
All right. So that's the podcast. Oh, actually, no. One last question. Sorry, Brian. One last question.
Okay, Ryan Hemming
says, thoughts on Boley? He rotates well with Lundstrom. This defense, what do you think? Two clean sheets in a row.
Yeah, it's interesting. And Boley is the, I guess he's the best goal scorer in that back line. I guess if you're just looking for the cheaper central defenders.
Well, yeah, I think Doherty's got to have that.
Well, I guess I'm just speaking of Doherty is kind of priced out of this conversation by virtue of being, him being like $6 million.
$6 million.
I'm just thinking of between Cody, Bali, and Bennett, which, you know, that's just a murderer's row of FPL assets right there. I don't know. I feel like
two syllable FPL assets. Yeah.
It's like, I mean, we're living in this window of 4.5 defenders or no one else. And I feel like Wolves defense is really only palatable at the bargain rates, just given what we've talked about what we've seen from Wolves this season. So,
yep, I think that's the perfect last word there, because I agree with that. It's at 4.5. I'd be really tempted to, but not at 5 million.
Yeah.
That's the pod. That's it.
All right.
Those are our thoughts. Yeah, it moves fast when you skip past a bunch of teams. I'll just say once again, thank you to thanks everyone for waiting a day for the pod. Thank you to everyone who supports the podcast on Patreon. If you'd like to support the podcast there, you can go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. And Brandon, you want to thank our producers?
Absolutely. Big thanks, as always, to our producers. You're magnificent. Peter Bodachtel, Barry McGuire, Paul Herzig, Victor Forberg, Skogang, Alan Creasy, Blair Jacobson, Nick Wright, Stian Nahaus, Kaya Kirstine Lelang, Brian Chin, Travis West, Frederick Kean Gransky, Dave Wegner Lodahl. Thanks for trying to co-host last night, Dave. Brian Jacobson, Andy Penn, Jazz Binning, Chris Carter, Babas Kuhn, James Holland, Ben Grant, Jeff Husby, Trevor Ingerson, Brian T, Jim Payne, Adam Benjamin, Martin Savage, Chris Howell. Chris Howell's just got the best Twitter game going right now. I have to say that right now, Josh. Man loves college football.
Person too.
Steven, I won't let you forget it. Also, Steven Toomey, the Beermaster Extraordinaire, and the OG, Mike DiPietro. Rate and review Always Cheating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Acast, wherever it is that you get your podcasts. Also, give us a follow on social media. On Twitter, it's at Hail Cheaters. Instagram, at Hail Cheaters. I can get through this, I swear. Facebook.com/Always Cheating. Send us your emails, hailcheaters@gmail.com. And visit our website where you can find our shop, a link to the Super League, all sorts of other cool stuff, alwayscheating.com. Last but not least, we want to shout out our brand new Patreon supporters. Josh, I'll give you the honors.
Thank you. Lord Soloth patrons, thank you to Brian Gibson, Barry Bruce, Ronan O'Loughlin, and Mark Convey. Pookie patrons, thank you to Timothy Bentalilla and Ryan Hemmings. Thanks to all of our new patrons. Very much appreciated.
All right. Yeah. Good luck to everyone sort of dealing with their IBS right now. I'm going to have to go tend to it at the moment. But we'll be back for another pod and a proper Game Week 9 preview next Monday, hopefully on time. Should be on time. And we'll have a special guest that we'll announce on social media, which will be fun.
I'm looking forward to that guest. I know who the guest is, but I will not announce it here in this podcast. So that's going to be a lot of fun. I look forward to hearing that. And Brandon, thank you for doing this pod. I am surprised that doing it twice did not feel like a drag. It was actually pretty fun to just talk in fantasy. It's always fun.
It's just two friends talking fantasy. That's all it is.
that's exactly right. That's our sales pitch right there. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Poku forever.